Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a clean subsize style sub bass in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into that stretchy, crunchy, old school jungle and drum and bass texture that feels like it's been sampled, battered, and pushed just a little too far, in the best possible way. The big idea here is simple, but it's a really important DNB mindset. Don't ask one sound to do everything. Let the sub do the weightlifting down low, and let a separate texture layer handle the grit, movement, and attitude in the mids. That way you get a bass that still hits hard in the club, but also feels alive and reactive in the arrangement. First, build the foundation. On a new MIDI track, load operator and set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it clean and direct. Put the instrument in mono, set voices to 1, and if you want that classic glide between notes, add a little portamento, somewhere around 20 to 60 milliseconds. The aim here is a stable, solid sub that can lock with the kick and snare without getting cloudy. Write a simple bassline first. Don't overcomplicate it. In jungle and drum and bass, the low end often works best when it leaves space for the drums. So think in terms of root notes, a few passing tones, maybe one or two syncopated hits. The sub should feel confident and controlled, not overly busy. Now we create the character layer. Duplicate the track, or better yet, resample the bass into audio so you've got something you can really mangle. That audio source is where the old school vibe starts to show up, because sample playback has a naturally rougher, more human feel than a perfectly static synth note. Take that audio and load it into simpler. For this kind of stretched, battered character, classic mode is usually a great starting point. You can also try one shot if you want a more chopped, hit-like response. Start adjusting the sample start and loop feel, so the bass sounds less like a polished synth and more like a sliced-up piece of source material. You're not trying to make it pristine. You're trying to make it feel like a bass that's been through a sampler and come out with attitude. From there, add redux after simpler. This is where the crunchy, degraded texture comes in. Try reducing the bit depth and lowering the sample rate enough to bring out that worn digital edge, but don't overdo it right away. Then add saturator to thicken the harmonics and give the texture more weight. Auto filter comes next, so you can shape the mids and make the texture breathe across the phrase. A really useful starting point is to high-pass the texture layer so it doesn't compete with the sub. That's a huge part of keeping the mix clean. If your texture layer is hanging out in the 150 to 300 Hz range too much, it's going to cloud the low end fast. Let the sub own the floor, and let the crunchy layer live higher up, where the ear can hear its character. This is also where utility becomes your best friend. Put the sub in mono, and keep it that way. Set the width to 0 if needed, and make sure your texture layer is the only thing adding any stereo interest. If the low end starts feeling wide, unstable, or facey, you've gone too far with the wrong layer. Now for the most important part of the lesson, automation. This is where the bass starts to feel like a performance instead of a loop. You want to automate the texture layer so it changes over time. Small moves can make a massive difference. A tiny cutoff shift, a slight change in saturator drive, a subtle nudge in redux, or a tiny sample start movement can completely reanimate the phrase without making it sound gimmicky. Try this as a basic phrase idea. In the first half of the bar or first bar, keep the filter fairly closed and the crunch a bit restrained. Then open the filter more in the second bar. Raise the drive slightly before a fill. Push the bit reduction a little harder on a pickup note. Even a 5 to 10% movement can make the loop feel alive, especially in a jungle context where little changes matter a lot. If you want to get extra expressive, automate the start point in simpler. That's a great trick for giving the impression of a different hit, while keeping the same note. It's one of those tiny changes that makes the bass feel like it's being performed rather than repeated. Once the sampler chain is working, add drum bus if you want more density and punch. Keep it restrained on the texture layer. You're looking for controlled grime, not a collapsed mess. A little drive, a little crunch, maybe a touch of transient emphasis if the attack needs to poke through. Just remember, the more you damage the texture layer, the more important it becomes to leave the sub clean. Now listen to the bass against the drums, not in solo. That's a huge teacher note here. A bass sound can feel amazing by itself and still wreck the groove once the kick and break are playing. In drum and bass, the context is everything. The bass and drums have to breathe together. If the texture layer is fighting the snare or crowding the kick, adjust the note lengths, the filter, or the high pass before you start reaching for master bus fixes. A really effective approach is to treat the crunchy layer almost like percussion. Shorten the notes if you want it tighter. Let the release decay a bit more if you want it to smear into the groove. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass often feels more like a rhythmic event than a sustained synth line. That's part of the style. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where the lesson really comes alive. Don't keep the bass static across the whole track. Build contrast. Maybe the intro and pre-drop only hint at the filtered texture. Then the drop comes in with the sub and a muted crunch layer. As the section develops, open the filter, increase the harmonic bite, and let the second half of the phrase feel more damaged and more aggressive. That contrast is what creates payoff. If everything is crunchy all the time, nothing feels special. Old school energy comes from restraint, then release. So use automation like a storyteller. Close the texture down for a breakdown, then bring it back harder in the drop. Pull the layer away for half a bar before a transition, then slam it back in. That little moment of absence can make the re-entry feel huge. You can also group the bass layers into a bass bus if you want to glue them together gently. A light glue compressor can help, but don't squash it. A couple of dB of gain reduction at most is usually enough. If you're sidechaining from the kick, keep it subtle on the sub and a little more noticeable on the texture layer. That way the groove breathes, but the bottom stays firm. Here's a really useful creative tip. Automate perception, not just movement. Big sweeps are fine sometimes, but a lot of the time the most convincing bass evolution comes from small changes. A slight filter opening, a touch more saturation, a tiny reduction in bit depth, a little width on the texture layer. Those subtle moves can make the loop feel like it's waking up again every few bars. Another good mindset is to commit to one ugly quality. Decide whether your main character is bit crush, saturation, filtering, or sample offset. If you try to max out all of them at once, you usually end up with noise instead of personality. Pick the one that defines the tone, and let the other processes support it. For a darker or heavier twist, you can even resample the processed bass and chop it into new audio edits. That gives you a more hands-on, jungle-style workflow. Then you can transpose little hits up or down, or use chopped re-entries to answer the main phrase. That call-and-response feel is very classic in DNB. And it works especially well when the drums are busy. So the basic recipe is this. Keep the sub clean, mono, and stable. Build a separate crunchy layer from the same bass source. Use Simpler, Redux, Saturator, Auto Filter, and maybe Drum Boss to give it that sampled, stretched, battered quality. Then automate the texture over 2-bar and 4-bar phrases so it evolves with the arrangement. If you do it right, the result should feel like the bass has been played, sampled, and pushed too far, but still controlled enough to smash in the club. That's the sweet spot. That's the old-school jungle and drum and bass energy we're after. Now go build the loop, listen in context, and don't be afraid to make the texture a little ugly. That's often where the magic starts.